All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 57 in our American History program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. Today we are going to look at the Declaration of Independence, the document that gives birth to the idea of the United States, the new idea, the revolutionary idea. And, of course, leads us to the heart of American history and everything that has happened since. So, what we are going to do here is I'm going to share my screen with you guys. And the screen is going to have two things on there. On the left-hand side, we have the text of the Declaration of Independence. And on the right-hand side, we have the timeline of events, of course, that have led us up to the Declaration of Independence. So I need to just tell you a couple things about each of those in the lead-up to our lecture and discussion today. Okay, we're going to spend most of our time looking at the left-hand side. And you are going to notice that on the left-hand side, The entire document is there. However, it should be very obvious that some of it is in bold blue text and that the rest is in regular, smaller black text. The reason for that is very simple. There's no way we can read the entire Declaration of Independence in this class. And it actually doesn't make sense to read it in an elementary class because it is a very complicated, very grown-up document. And so there's a lot in there. There's more than we are necessarily ready to learn right now. So what I have done with this document is I have highlighted the parts that I think are the best to pay attention to at this time. So those are the ones in bright blue letters, and we will only read those parts in class. I will send you this version of the document. It will be on the class webpage. And it's up to you and your house and your family if you want to read more of it, if you want to pay attention to other parts. You know, that's up to you. But as far as History as Our House is concerned, we're only going to pay attention to the parts that are in bright blue because I think those are the most important parts and certainly the parts that make the most sense given what we have learned. There's a lot more to it, but that's why you study American history as a junior high student and a high school student and hopefully as a college student and as a grown-up. You will continue to learn more and more and you'll be ready to learn more about this. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to read the blue stuff on the left together as a class, and I will accept volunteers for certain parts of the reading, which I will highlight. Okay, so you can look forward to that. And then the thing is, we're also going to make reference to the material that's on the right-hand side. In other words, the facts that we have previously encountered and hopefully learned reasonably well. And one of the reasons why we are going to look at those facts on the right is there's going to be a game and a kind of a challenge as a part of our reading. And so we're going to have a contest. Everybody loves a good contest. And the contest is going to be this. As we read the Declaration of Independence, I'm going to ask you, every once in a while I will prompt you and I will say, what fact on the right are the Founding Fathers talking about? Because as you will see in the Declaration, they are talking about the history of the events that have led them to this moment where they intend to declare independence. So they're looking back on their history and they're saying, the king did this, the king did that. Our British brethren did this, did that, and so on. And you should be able to recognize in those statements the history that you know. Okay, so I will give you guys another 5 minutes, therefore, to reinforce your awareness of what's on the right, as we did briefly yesterday. So, for instance, Abby was asking me yesterday about the Sugar Act, and I said, well, sugar was coming and molasses was coming to America from the Spanish colonies, and the government of Britain refused to allow Americans to trade that way. And then it did certain things, right? So that was the Sugar Act about trading with Spanish colonies. And then Wyatt was asking me, or Henry maybe perhaps was asking me, about the Declaratory Act. And he said, I don't know what that is. So I explained that that's the declaration by the British government that it may control the colonies any way that it wants, any form of tax that it wants. Okay? So obviously, if you are going to be able to answer the pop quiz and perform it well in the contest, you're going to have to know what these things are. So I will give two people a chance to ask two more questions to get themselves ready for this contest about something else other than the Sugar Act and the Declaratory Act, which we are now in a pretty good position to know. So since Abby and Wyatt have already had their turn asking questions, I'm going to see if anybody else wants to put themselves in a strong position to win this contest here. So the hands have gone up, and Rosetta is the first. So Rosetta, go ahead and ask me something.
Why is the Townshed Act called the Townshed Act?
Okay, yeah, it looks like it's Townshend. So not quite the end of a town, because you would think that would be Townshend, but it's Townshend. It's the name of a person who made the law back in Britain. So remember that back in Britain, we have the king, George III, and we have his parliament, and they are responsible for making the laws together, and the man who was named, his name was Townshend, was responsible for these taxes, including Rosetta. Do you remember the most notorious one, of course?
On tea,
yes. The Townshend Acts had many forms of taxes in them. They came right after the Declaratory Act because the Parliament declared its power to control the colonies, and then the next year it made the new taxes. Okay? Good. So thank you for asking. So now if you're going to see a tax on a bunch of things, including tea, you might know that it's the Townshend Acts that the Founding Fathers are talking about. Anybody else want to ask about one of these that you look at it and you don't know what it is? That's okay. We are still learning, right? Okay, it looks like Walker and Allison are going to be the second to ask. Go ahead.
What is the Quartering Act?
Okay, good question. Actually, we didn't have it last time because Wyatt and Henry were asking about it, but I said, all right, we're only going to do one. Okay, so the Quartering Act was a law that said that colonial citizens would have to allow troops of the British Empire into their homes to take care of them because there weren't enough quarters for them in the colonies. Right, so the place where troops and soldiers and armies, the place where they sleep and eat, those are called their quarters. Right, so that's another word for the word quarter. And so their quarters is the place where they eat and sleep. So the Quartering Act said the colonists must give rooms in their homes to the soldiers. Because, well, the government wants to have more soldiers in the colonies and doesn't have enough place to put them. Okay, good. Good, good. All right, so now we have, hopefully, a review and more clarity about some of these. And off we go for the purpose of reading. All right, so one thing that I want to say before we do the reading is, for instance, right here, right? The blue ends, and then it goes black. So if you're the person who's reading, what you need to do, if it's not the end of a sentence, is go look for the next part that's blue and keep reading. Okay? I made the choice in such a way that you can skip what's in the middle. right? Because there's a comma, and there's a comma, and then you can just keep on reading. Okay, and I will try to highlight the text to remind you. Some parts are easy, right? When they're all together, you can just read that. Okay? And other parts are a little bit more difficult. All right, so go ahead. Anybody who wants to do any reading at all should put their hands up, and I will slowly pick from those who are volunteering, and I will call upon you each at a time. Okay, so we will begin in Congress, July 4th, 1776, best year ever. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. Abby, slowly and with careful elocution, begin, please.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, in decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
Thank you. Wonderful. Okay? So the declaration begins with respect for mankind. Fellow human beings, everywhere, we would like to explain to you why we are going to do this. Which means what? I mean, dissolve the political bands which have connected us to another people. What is that? What are political bands? Abby?
Well, it's something that connects people together, such as, say, connects government.
What would be the connections is a very good point, but it's kind of like a physical word, isn't it? A band is like a rubber band. It's like something that stretches out and that you hold in between you and that it connects you. But it's political, which means it has to do with the government, with the laws. And now we are not going to have a rubber band between us of laws anymore. What are we going to do? Separate. Okay? That's it. We are going to be the colonies. We're not going to be the colonies anymore. We are going to be the states. Okay. Here we go. Who's my next reader? Nash, you're up. Slow, loud, and clear.
Behold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are allowed
endowed
by their Creator with current, certain, inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the purse of happiness.
Pursuit of happiness. Thank you, Nash. Okay, this is really the heart of the Declaration. Every person has rights, and they are a very special kind. What a strange word. Unalienable. What does that mean? Unalienable. Notice like it's got three words in it. Unalienable. Unable to be alien. What? Now, we live in kind of silly times. Every time we see the word alien, we think it's got green skin and six eyes. But no, what does that mean? Unalienable. Walker, Allison?
I think it means rights that came with them
as in they were there when humans were created.
Okay, right. It's a part of their nature. It's right in you. It's not something that somebody gives you and can take away from you. It is a part of you. So therefore, it cannot be alien to you, which is, you know, it cannot be apart from you and different and separate from you. So your rights can never leave you. That's what unalienable means. They are a part of you. You have them. They are a part of you. You have them to life, liberty, and the pursuit. Nobody gives them to you. Nobody can take them away from you. They are part of you. Okay? Continuing, please. A new volunteer, please. Patrick, go ahead. Slow and clear.
To these...
That.
To that, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men,
deriving
their just powers from the consent of the governor
of the governed,
that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it.
Okay. What is the purpose of governments? To secure these rights. Secure means what? Very important word here in this declaration. What are governments supposed to do? What does it mean to secure something, Abby?
To keep it safe, to make sure it's not taken.
Exactly. To secure something means make it safe. So the point of making a government is to make your rights safe. Not to give you your rights, but to make them safe. And the only power of a government can be given to it by the people. And if a government destroys rights, what's another right of the people? At that point, the government is wrong. So, what can the people do now? Walker?
They can...
What's alter or abolish? Alter means what?
Alter means... take... move or destroy...
Not quite. That's abolish. Abolish is destroy. Alter is like when you get your clothes altered or alterations. Nowadays, I guess so few people do that. You buy another size or whatever. But alter means to change. So the people have a right. One of the rights that people have because they have a right to their own life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is... whenever the government is against their rights, they have the right to change that government or destroy it. Abolish it. Get rid of it completely and start all over. That is also a right that they have. And you, every single person here, is walking around with this right. It's unalienable because it's connected to your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You have this right. All right, so the Founding Fathers are saying something really, really big here. So now they're going to explain, well... we are in a tricky situation. Abby, resume the reading for us, please.
The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world.
Okay. So, here we go. We are a part of the British Empire. Our ruler is the king. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to be a tyrant. That is his object. An object means the goal that you have is to be a tyrant over us. And we now are going to prove it. What is a can't to... Let the facts be submitted to a candid world. What does that mean? A candid world. An open and thoughtful world that's willing to pay attention. A world that wants to see. Let's take a look. And now they begin to list many different injuries that the king has enacted harming the colonies. And you can see here that there are many listed here. And that I am not even focusing on all of them. Look how many here were things that they identified the king had done wrong against rights. And only by the time we get here do we find something that, well, we can look over here and recognize, aha, we know that one. So, who's ready to do the contest? He has sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. So, Abby's hand was up first. Go ahead, Abby. What do you think?
The first one?
Which is?
He has erected a multitude of new
No. No, I didn't want you to read it. I just wanted to... I'm asking you now, what fact from our story do we recognize here?
Swarms of assistants!
Swarms of officers to harass our people! Okay. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. Military power greater than civilian power? Where do we see that? Walker, Allison, your hand's been up this whole time. I hope you have an answer. Go ahead.
1763?
Not so much. There's one that's even better than that. Rosetta?
Declaratory Act?
Not. That doesn't say anything about military power. Oh, we still got one more person, Dana.
Ordering Act.
No, not really. Oh my goodness, we still haven't gotten it. Wyatt? Oh no, what a time for a sound problem. Alright, Sigourney, go ahead.
Maybe still writs of assistance?
Sort of. But those are not the military. They are members of the customs office and stuff like that. Military rule! Alright, well, so far, Abby's the only one who's gotten a point. We didn't get that last one. Okay, let's try this one here. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. That one wasn't too hard. Rosetta?
Quartering Act.
The Quartering Act. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. What about this one? Walker?
Closure of Port of Boston.
Absolutely. Any others? Sigourney?
Sugar Act.
Sugar Act. No trade allowed with the Spanish colonies, right? And pretty much, well, a whole bunch of them, really. Those are the best ones. Okay. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. Patrick, which one's that? Most importantly.
Townsend
Acts? Not so much. There was one that was more powerfully, the rallying cry was, no taxation without representation. Abby.
The Stamp Act?
The Stamp Act, yes. We did not get to choose that. And Patrick Henry said, only the colonial parliament should have a right to make taxes like that. All right, this one's a tricky one. For depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. You have to have read the class notes for that one. So, I don't know if anybody's read those class notes yet. Uh-oh, no hands up. You guys got to read those more often. That was a part of the Sugar Act, that you couldn't have a trial by jury, and you would be transported somewhere else for this trial. So that's part of that as well. And then for enlarging the boundaries of a neighboring province for absolute rule. Which one was that? Sigourney?
The Quebec Act.
The Quebec Act. The province of Quebec was expanded down for absolute control. See, so now you can see, though, that this the list that we know of, this list that we have studied, is barely about a third of the things that they had to complain about. So there's a lot to learn, isn't there? A lot of very interesting things that happened that the colonists were upset about. So we can already see a lot of good reasons for them to want to rebel. But even we only know maybe about a third of the reasons. Wow. Okay. So finally we get to the point where the colonists are also talking to their fellow British citizens. Because, if you remember, in Britain, there was a king, and of course, this is a monarchy, so if you are going to rebel, you are going to rebel against the king. But you shouldn't have to do this by yourself as a colonist. Who's supposed to be on your side? Who's supposed to have fought for hundreds of years to have their rights protected against tyrannical kings? Who's supposed to be on your side of the fight? Abby?
The government.
Yeah, well, not just, that's too general. The rest of the British, right? Everybody else who's not a king should be on your side. But instead, what we find is that we have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature. Whoa, what's that word mean? We didn't see that word yet. To extend an unwarranted jurisdiction over us. See what I mean by big words and a grown-up language? All right. So what that means is, legislature means the Parliament of England. So we have warned them about their Parliament doing what? Taking control of our lives. Do they have a right to do that? Abby?
No.
Well, because they're acting like what?
Tyrants.
They're acting like tyrants against us. Our fellow British citizens are making laws over there in England, and they're being just like little kings. A whole bunch of them. And they're trying to have power over us too. And they have been deaf, to the voice of justice. And therefore, we must treat them as enemies in war. Very sad, but true. Finally, Abby, walk us through the end of the declaration.
We therefore declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. And for the support of this declaration, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Ta-da! We pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to be free men and support each other in our rights, whatever is required. So, here's something amazing. I mean, I can't say enough about the Founding Fathers. They are the greatest political leaders in the history of mankind. Absolutely. And here's the most amazing thing that, I mean, not the, but it's just one of the so many amazing things. This idea of creating a nation of rights. In order to do it, what they had to do here was sign at the end of this document and put their names here. And they did it. And by signing here, all of these people, here's an interesting signature, and so on, right, he's the one who mostly wrote it, by signing on here, imagine what they were doing. What they were doing was signing a document that said, we are rebels. The whole world we announce to that we are rebels. We intend to overthrow the power of our government here and make a new government. By doing this, in the eyes of their own government, they became lower than criminals. And the goal of the British government would be to kill these men. And they knew that. That's what this means. We pledge our lives. Because we know that what's going to happen is the most powerful country in the world is going to send its soldiers and try to kill us. But there's something worth having. There is something worth putting your life on the line for. Liberty. And so we will do it. We will face the greatest challenge, and we will win. Huzzah! Go Founding Fathers! Go America! Tomorrow we'll talk about the victory of the Americans in the Revolutionary War. And the great mission to create a new country.
Anyways, good always wins.
Yay! Hooray for the good. Okay, guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.